How's everybody doing today? So good to have Tony and David on the platform together. That is unusual. So, and how many of you appreciate these guys' heart because they do such a great job leading, but I also appreciate the flexibility because they travel a lot. Sometimes you'll go, well, where's David? I mean, is he even going to church 50% of the time? Yes, he is. He's just up in Middletown, you know, the other part. And Tony's also traveling. And so really appreciate our team and appreciate our tech team and all that you guys do because I know it takes so much effort to do what happens here and so much behind the scenes. So thank you guys so much for that. You know, we sing that song, God, I hear you, I'm available. But how many of you ever find it difficult to hear God's voice? You ever find it difficult to understand, God, what is your will for my life? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? You guys remember this, Magic 8 Ball? You guys remember those things? You ask it a question, and then you shake, 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 see what the answer is. Is it too late to switch majors again? Shake, shake, shake. Signs point to yes. Will anyone notice if I work from home today? Shake, shake, shake. Better not tell you now. Is coffee a personality trait? Shake, shake, shake. Yes. Is pizza the answer to my problems? Shake, shake, shake. It's decidedly so. Should I speak up or should I keep my job? Don't count on it. Shake, shake, shake. Am I mad or am I just hungry? Signs point to yes. I mean, don't you wish that life was just like that? If I was like, I could just get an answer right now on demand. Just tell me what you want me to do. Yes, no, maybe. Don't count on it. It's decidedly so. Can you just let me know? I mean, don't you wish sometimes that God would answer like that? God, is this your will for my life? Is this a step of obedience or am I overreacting? Shake, shake, yes or no? God, did you open this door for me or am I forcing this door open? No confusion, no waiting, just a simple yes or no, God, that would be just fine. And if we're honest, that's often how we want God to speak to us, clear, on demand. I mean, how many of you find it difficult to hear the voice of God? You have a decision you need to make and you think, well, maybe I should pray about it. And you pray about it and you say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? What is it you want me to do? And sometimes a thought will come to your mind or a feeling or an impression will come to your mind. And you'll ask yourself, was that God or was that me? Was that my emotions? Is it because that's actually what I want? Was that the Holy Spirit? Was that the burrito that I had last night? How do you know? I mean, wouldn't it be incredible? Wouldn't it be amazing to know exactly what God wants for your life? I mean, imagine if you could ask God a question and you could get a very clear answer. Well, today we're going to see that not only does God have a plan for you, He wants you to know it. Hearing from God is not some mysterious thing. Our loving Heavenly Father actually wants to communicate with you. And there are moments, though, where I picture God just up in heaven shaking his head, not in anger, but in patience with me about how difficult I am to communicate with. Sometimes I miss the message entirely. Sometimes I'm distracted. Other times I hear something and I'm there confused and I'm like, God, I didn't get that. I didn't catch that. Would you say that again? And I'm so grateful that God is patient. The Bible says in John 10:10, which is the theme verse for our series, I've come that you may have life and have it to the full. And if God wants the best life for you, then doesn't it make sense that God doesn't want to hide it from you? Doesn't it make sense that He wants to lead you and guide you and teach you? Doesn't it make sense that if God wants the best life for you, that He will open doors for you, that He will prompt you in the right direction, that He will lead you, He will convict you, He will guide you? If our God wants the best for you, then doesn't it make sense that He wants to communicate that with you? And our verse for today is John 10:14. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. And He compares us to sheep. Why? Because sheep need a shepherd. Sheep have limited perspective. Sheep are hard-headed sometimes. Sheep left to themselves almost always end up lost. You ever see that video where they get a sheep and he jumps in a ravine and they get him out and immediately he jumps back in the ravine? I'm like, that's me, God. I mean, so many times I end up in the wrong spot, in the wrong place. And I love that picture of Jesus because he is a good shepherd. A good shepherd is patient. He protects, he preserves, he guides. He leads the sheep to greener pastures. And so the Bible says, Jesus is your shepherd. And if you will allow him, the Bible says that he wants you to know his voice. He knows you. And so let me just give you some principles out of John 10. And actually, I appreciate Josh's work on this because a lot of these come right out of our book, Elementary Discipleship. And I know some of you have read that. My mom has like 15 copies of it, so she's the all-time leader in that. But here's the first principle. My sheep know my voice. Listen to John 10:4. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. And that is the personal nature of God. You know, there's a lot of different ways to know somebody. You can know of somebody, like, hey, I know of that person. I know they exist out there somewhere. You can know about somebody. Hey, I've read their Wikipedia. I know some facts about them. I know some things about them. You can know beyond, meaning you can have some emotional attachment, meaning you've met each other, you've had a conversation, you realize this is a real person, and I really kind of like them, or I don't like them, or what have you. We now know beyond, or you can know within. And that's where you know somebody closely, intimately. You know them in every aspect. Paul one time wrote, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and therefore also the participation in his suffering. Sometimes knowing somebody within means you've been through the battle together. You know each other. You've actually been through it with one another. You know, when my mom calls me on the phone, I know immediately who it is. I don't have to look at caller ID. She has that soft yet confident voice. Anybody know what I'm talking about with her? You know what I'm talking about, Sandy. And she just gives you this, hi. And you're like, oh, it's my mom. How you doing? You know immediately who it is. And it's so encouraging. One of the principles that Josh writes in that book, Elementary Discipleship, he says, repetition builds recognition. The more that I hear from somebody, the more that I know you, the more that I recognize that voice. And the closer that you are to God, the more that you recognize when he is speaking to you. My sheep know my voice. My sheep also follow my voice. John 10:4 says, when he has brought out his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. There's one thing to hear from God. There's another thing to be obedient to God. And Jesus shows us that sheep don't just recognize his voice. They trust that voice. They follow him. Following requires you to say, God, I hear from you, and now I'm willing to do what you say. This sheep shepherd analogy is actually an Old Testament analogy. And one of the primary places we see it in Psalm 23, when David, the shepherd, writes about his shepherd, the Lord, and he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And David is saying, I'm a shepherd, and I know what it means to lead sheep. And then he's saying, therefore, I know what God is like as a shepherd. He guides me. He leads me. He cares for me. He takes me to greener pastures. And even when I am in the darkest valley of life, I'm not going to fear evil because I know my God is with me. And I'm willing then, he says, to trust him. I'm going to follow him to those green pastures. I'm going to follow him to those quiet waters. I'm going to allow him to lead me. I'm going to allow him to guide me along the right paths. Now, I know life is not always green pastures. Sometimes it is dark valleys. But in that, God is leading us. And the question we have today is, do I trust the shepherd to lead me into what is right and best for my life, even when the path is uncomfortable or unclear? In Israel, when I went to Israel a few years ago, I brought back for Josh and a few other people, for some friends and key leaders, one of those statues where the shepherd has the sheep across his shoulders, and you all have seen those, him carrying him along the way. And when we were in Bethlehem, the guide, the tour guide, was telling us that sometimes when there was a wandering sheep, the one out of the 99, that the shepherd would actually go find that little ewe sheep and would take it and would break its leg and then would carry it on its shoulders. And you think immediately, that's so cruel. How would you do that? And it was because that shepherd knew that unless that happened, unless there was some pain in that sheep's life, then there wouldn't be that connection. There wouldn't be that intimate connection between him and the shepherd. And so for 6 weeks, that shepherd would carry that sheep on his shoulders, letting him know that he's got him. He's taking care of him. They would get to know each other. He would get to know his voice. Therefore, when the sheep was healed, that sheep would no longer want to wander away from the shepherd. Sometimes it's through our pain that God is speaking to us and that God is leading us. And the closer that we stay to him, the more we realize the better off that we are. Not every place that Jesus leads is easy or painless or even desirable sometimes. But we can follow him with confidence because his words are always backed by his actions. In fact, John chapter 10 says, "I am the good shepherd. The shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." One of the things we know about Jesus is that Jesus has proven it. I mean, he's been there, done that, and he laid his life down for us. Therefore, we can trust him. Now, another thing in this text is that his sheep resist other voices. Verse 5 says, "But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." And those of you who still listen to radio, I don't have Sirius XM on my car, but when you're traveling, do you ever find yourself enjoying a station and all of a sudden another station comes bleeding through? You're enjoying maybe a little hard rock station and suddenly a twangy banjo comes bleeding through on your radio station, or you're enjoying country music and suddenly a Spanish station comes on bleeding through. So cheerful, so happy. That, my Spanish needs work, I know, but don't judge me. But there are a lot of voices out there today that are there, and so much noise comes through. This is one of the things I was really thinking about this week when it came to this message. I think one of the reasons we don't hear so much from God is because the world is completely noisy these days. Jesus one time said, "He who has ears, let him hear." I think what he's saying is, you need to pay attention. I mean, you need to really listen. I mean, how do we listen to God's voice? One of the best ways to do it, I promise you, is you have to turn down the volume of the world because everything is shouting for your attention. Stop scrolling, stop clicking, stop giving in to what everybody else says, and listen for the voice of God. Find a quiet place, open the Word of God, pray, and quiet your mind. What I want to tell you is God is speaking. He speaks every day to anyone who will listen to him. He is a relational God who loves you, wants to reveal his love for you and his purpose for your life. But if you're always involved in something else, God is patient. He's not just going to force his way in. And so many voices are bleeding in on you. Psalm chapter 46, verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. You can hear his voice, but you have to listen. You know, there's an Old Testament story about Elijah the prophet, who was a great man of God with a big faith, and he destroyed all these false prophets. And then this evil queen named Jezebel came after him, and Jezebel was scary. Jezebel said, "I'm going to kill you." I mean, here he had all these men, and he had handled all of them. But one angry woman named Jezebel came, and he is done. And he is running away, and he hides in a cave. And that is where some of you are today. He was totally and completely depleted. And he was just like, "I just need a word from God. I need something in this moment because I am depressed, discouraged, angered, anxious. God, are you speaking?" And he needed that word. And the Bible tells us that a wind blasted through the mountain. But then Scripture says God was not in the wind. And then a big earthquake came and shook the ground. But the Bible said the Lord was not in the earthquake. And then a fire raged. But Scripture tells us the Lord was not in the fire. And for those of you that are older like me, when we see that, we see earth, wind, and fire. Hashtag dad joke. And I'm just going to play to my older crowd. But anyway, First Kings chapter 19, verse 12 says, "And after the fire came a gentle whisper." A gentle whisper. And that is where the voice of God came. Where was God? Not in the extraordinary, but in the ordinary. Not in the earthquake or in the fire, but he was just simply there in a gentle whisper. "Be still and know that I am God." And you cannot hear the gentle whisper if your mind is cluttered with all the other voices of the world. If you're asking today, why can't I hear from God? Maybe look at your own habits today and ask yourself, am I quieting my mind and my spirit to be able to hear from the Lord? When you're doing dishes, God gives wisdom. When you're driving to work, God gives a word. When you're awake at 2 a.m. in the morning, God whispers, "I'm with you. I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. What I'm doing is bringing about good in your life. You can trust me." God whispers. He whispers. He whispers. And so what I want to do for the remainder of our time is just tell you some of the ways that God speaks to us. And these will be practical, but I believe that they're true. And the first way is, the primary way, is through the Word of God, the Bible. The Bible, that is why we call it God's Word. In His Word, God is speaking to you. 2 Timothy chapter 3:16 says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." I could read several more verses about how the Word of God says about itself that it speaks to us, that it gives us our hope, our encouragement. That is God's guide, His roadmap for your life. If you do not read the Word of God, then you're not going to hear from God, because it is His primary way to hear from God. And you say, "Well, Stephen, God never speaks to me." And so I would ask you, are you reading God's Word? If you've never put the Bible in your mind, then how is God going to bring that verse to your mind? And one of the ways to hear from God is to memorize Scripture. Because when you're in that moment of loneliness, you hear the voice of God say, "I will never leave you. I am with you always, even to the end of the age." When you're dealing with anxiety, you will hear God say, "Do not be anxious about anything, but through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." When you're in a moment of temptation, and God says, "There is no temptation that has overcome you, but such is common to man, but God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear." And over and over and over, as you hear the Word of God, you go through the time of struggle, and you remember that that fire will not overtake you. The water will not overcome you. As you learn the Word of God, it will speak to you. The Bible is God's best way. And by the way, it is also the best way to test a leading that you have, because God will never contradict His Word. Whenever you sense a restlessness in your spirit or some kind of an idea or a thought, or you say, "God is leading me this way," well, God is never going to lead you in a way that is inconsistent with the Word of God. He's only going to lead you in ways that are consistent. The Bible says He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His Word is consistent. Number two, He leads you through His bride, the church. He speaks through the church. The Bible says in Ephesians 3, verse 10 and 11, His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to His eternal purpose that He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. I mean, this happens all the time. You're in here and you're hearing a message and you're thinking, "I think God is speaking directly to me. I feel so convicted, I feel so challenged, I feel so motivated." And sometimes when I leave, there's people who walk out and they shake my hand, or maybe they avoid me because they go, "Whatever you just said, you are looking in at my house and it's annoying me right now." Guys, I'm not that smart. That is the Holy Spirit of God. There is no way that I can figure out in a crowd this size what you need in exactly the time that you need it. But there is power in preaching, and there is power through the Holy Spirit. And so when you feel convicted, that's not my fault, that's God's fault, all right? Don't blame me. And one of the reasons I don't like to miss church is because so many times in the middle of worship, you'll sense something from God. You'll sense this direction, this moving, this leading, this confirmation. You can't really explain it. You just sense it down deep inside of you. So many times people say, man, God, I felt something. I experienced something today. Again, it's not going to be contrary to his word, but when it's lined up with his word and then you understand, you feel that conviction, that guidance, that comfort in some way, that is a Holy Spirit moment. It happens through the bride, the church. Another way it happens is there's through people called the church. They're your friends in the church. And when you're doing something totally stupid and they're like, that's a dumb thing to do. And you think, no, that's what God wants me to do. And they say, no, that's not what God wants you to do. You probably should listen to your friends if they're godly people. So they'll confirm or they'll deny something that you're feeling. I think another way that God leads us is just through experiences or circumstances. I'm learning that the will of God often comes through open doors or closed doors or oftentimes through a painful experience that I've had. C.S. Lewis said, God whispers to us in our pleasure, but shouts to us in our pain. And sometimes God gets our attention when we're in a difficult moment, and maybe you weren't listening to God before, but now suddenly you become very acutely aware of God's presence in your life. Proverbs 20, verse 30 says, sometimes it takes a painful situation to make you change your ways. And so sometimes just through life experiences, this door opened, it seems like the right thing, you're following it, you're confirming it through the word of God, through the bride, the church, and then you take that direction, it seems like an open door. Or maybe a door slammed in front of you that you thought was a good opportunity, it seemed like it lined up with the word of God, seemed like other people had confirmed in your life, and it slammed closed, and you go, okay, circumstances telling me, that's not the direction that God wants me to go. And so you have to be aware of that. Number four, through the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 15 through 18 says, if you love me, keep my commands. That's the word of God. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. That is a promise of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is called our guide, our comforter, our advocate. And so often as we walk through our day, the Holy Spirit speaks to us in subtle ways. It might be a gentle nudge to reach out to somebody who needs encouragement, or a quiet conviction, a warning to us to avoid a wrong choice. Sometimes it's a thought that he won't leave us alone with until we act on it, or a sense of peace that we have as we step in the right direction. Those promptings are God's way of guiding us moment by moment by moment, but you have to be aware of those promptings. You have to be listening to those, and the key is you've got to slow down, pay attention, and then when you feel that, when you sense that, when you feel that conviction or that prompting or that guidance, then you follow that even when it seems scary. So many times for you, for me, it happens in the middle of the night, especially many times on a Saturday night into Sunday as I'm getting ready to preach the next day. God will wake me up in the middle of the night, and it is not just the bathroom. Amen? It happens when you get older, all right? That happens. It's not just that. But I will wake up, and there will be a completely different direction for the message. Like, I had a way that I was going, and it'll wake me up in the middle of the night, and I'll go a totally different direction. I'll think, what happened? And I have learned over the years, I had better listen to that, or that sermon is going to stink if I don't listen to it, right? It's like, you got to pay attention. And that reminds me of the Old Testament story about a young boy named Samuel, probably about 12 or so, and he worked in the temple for a priest named Eli. Now, Eli wasn't obeying God, and little boy Samuel probably didn't know much about God because he was into the ritual of the religion, but didn't know God as well in terms of a relationship. He was working in the temple, doing religious work, but suddenly one night he is in his room and he's asleep, and suddenly he gets this voice, and he wakes up. And he goes to Eli and says, what? What do you want? What are you talking to me for? Why did you wake me up? And Eli goes, go back to bed. My goodness, I didn't do anything. And Samuel goes back to bed and he falls asleep and he hears his name, Samuel. And he runs in. He says, "What do you want, Eli? What do you want? What do you want?" Eli says, "That wasn't me. Please go back to bed." And Samuel goes back to bed, and he goes back to sleep, and he hears the voice, "Samuel." And he runs in. He says, "Eli, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want?" And it's 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 8, Eli realized it was the Lord calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go lie down, and if God calls you again, you need to respond." And that's indeed exactly what happened. And Samuel went to bed, and he prayed this prayer, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Can you just repeat that after me, make that your prayer today? I'll say a phrase, and you repeat it. "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Let's do it again. "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." You would do really well to make that your prayer. I mean, if you want to hear from God, if you want a 10-10 life, a fulfilled life, then you just make that your prayer. "Speak, Lord, your servant's listening." And by the way, when he did speak, God didn't say to this 12-year-old young man, God didn't say, "Hey, Samuel, you're doing a good job. Therefore, I'm going to bless you with a cute 12-year-old girl that you liked at the playground. And when you're 21, you're going to get married. You're going to have a good job. You're going to make six figures. And you're going to have 2.5 children and a dog and a white picket fence. You're going to be blessed beyond measure." God did not say that to him. God said something to him that he did not want to hear. God told Samuel, and you can read about it in that text. He warned him that the priest Eli wasn't listening to God. Remember, this is a kid he's talking to, and he didn't discipline his rebellious sons, and he blasphemed the name of God. Eli did. And so God said to him, "I'm going to shock all of Israel." And that was his message for this 12-year-old kid. "I'm going to carry out my judgment against Eli and his entire family." Now, that is not a good message for that kid, but I want to remind you, don't ask God to speak unless you're willing to hear what he has to say. Some of you may say, "I'm asking God to speak to me, but I'm not hearing anything." I want to remind you, just because you aren't hearing doesn't mean God isn't speaking. Shut down the noise of the world and be willing to hear the message, even when it's not the message that you want to hear. The more that you listen, the more that you'll be able to recognize the voice and the Spirit of God within yourself. The more that you listen, the better you'll be at recognizing and knowing the voice of the shepherd. The good news is that Jesus promises he is a good shepherd, and that you are the sheep, and that he lays his life down for you, and that he wants you to know him, and that he knows you, and that he wants you to know his voice. And I know that some of you today are hurting, and you need a word of comfort. Some of you have lost hope. When you need a word of hope, some of you are trying to make a decision and you need wisdom. Some of you are carrying a burden and you need to cast that care on God because he cares for you. I want to be able to hear the word of God better. I want to hear from him. And you're asking God today, "I want to hear from you. I want to hear your voice." And so today I want to pray that you would begin to open up the eyes of your heart and open up your ears and allow God through his Spirit to begin to speak to you in a way that he never has before. Would you listen to God and would you pray today with me? God, I'm so thankful that your word is clear on this. You love us. You gave yourself up for us. You are the shepherd. We are your sheep. And you have a word for us, a conviction, a spurring, a prompting, a guidance, a comfort, a word of encouragement, direction. You have words through your word, the Bible, words that we should memorize, words that we should know, words that we should follow. And sometimes people here today, God, are thinking, I don't hear from you, but I want to hear from you. So God, help us to slow down, quiet our minds. Listen. Listen to what you have to say. Have the courage to follow. God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for being our guide. Somebody in here today who says, "I've never heard from you," maybe that's because they don't have a relationship with you yet. They know about you, but they don't know you. So even in this moment, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would convict them. that they would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are real, that you are God, that you love them, that Jesus died for them, and that now it's their chance. They've got to make a decision. They've got to say yes. Holy Spirit, I pray that you are dogged on them. I pray that you won't let them go, God. I pray that you won't leave them alone, that every moment they feel that need, that desire to become a Christian, to say, I confess Jesus as my Lord. I believe that he's the Savior of the world. I repent of my sin. I want to be baptized into Christ. I want to have all my old life washed away. I want a new life. I want to know you, God. I pray that you would convict and challenge and inspire them. And God, that they would not let it go. They'd have to make a phone call. They'd have to call us, say, I want to go right now. Let's make that decision. And then God, from there on, they continue to listen the rest of their life. God, for those who are hurting, those who are struggling, those who feel distant, they feel guilty even in this moment because they feel like I'm trying to do everything I can and I still can't hear from God. Pray, God, today that they would quiet their mind, quiet their anxiety. They wouldn't listen to the voice of the enemy who wants to steal their life and kill their life and destroy their life, but they would listen to the voice of God who says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You are my child. You are worthy. You're worthy. You're a royal priesthood. You're my child. You're my son. You're my daughter. You're a holy nation. You're a person that belongs to God. God, I pray that in this moment, their spirit would know and be confirmed that they are worthwhile, that they matter, that you have good plans for them. Pray they'd feel that encouragement today. Speak, Lord. Speak in this moment. Speak, God. For your servants are listening.